Welcome to the End Zone Club podcast, where we have conversations that are designed to push you from walking in your potential to fulfilling your purpose. And you're with your host, Anthony Mitchell. And I'd like to encourage you to like, share, rate, and subscribe to this podcast. Help us get this in the ears of some faithful listeners. And I encourage you not to touch the dial, but to turn the music up, because we're going live in 3, 2, 1. Let's go. What's up, beautiful people? It's Super Bowl Sunday, and I am excited because for the 8th time in my life, I'm getting a chance to see my San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. What's ironic about this? This is the second time since my youngest son has been born that we've had a chance to sit back and watch a Super Bowl together with a team being represented. Now, I know some people see sports as a convenient distraction. However, sometimes it's a welcome distraction, because with just the rat race of life that we are in, sometimes being able to break apart, find the common bond that sports offers us and allows us to basically to exert or to allow pressure, you know, to leave your life. It's a de-stressor, is what I'm saying. Being able to jump and cheer and have the highs and lows and ebbs and flows of the back and forth of the gladiatorial challenge of sports. It's good. It's good. So for me, being in this opportunity, I know there are a lot of fan bases that can relate. I dropped the cues for the Dallas Cowboys, but man, just to have this experience where your team is represented, I know it's the winner at the end of the game that will be remembered the most, but as a fan, the buildup for the game, seeing your team on the bright lights, seeing the media talking about all of your players and trying to find stories from various individuals on the team that you can pose and relate to the crowd is awesome. Well, for me, it takes a bigger dive when you're looking at the game. And one of the running backs on the team, I'm actually Facebook friends with his mom. He played at LSU. So there's been that sense of connection. And then one of our starting defensive backs is from my area. Well, actually, two of the defensive backs are from my area. So I know some of the family members of one grew up with family members from the other. So it's a little more personal when young men who came up behind you from your area, again, Facebook friends with a lot of the family. It takes a different dive when you're able to have that sort of relation. So you always feel like, yes, you ultimately want to win, but as far as just getting to this point where your hard work has paid off as a team, you've weathered the storms of building a championship team enough to a point you can get on the stage and you can represent not only for your region, but for your fans worldwide and give them the best you got. Y'all, that for me is just a wonderful thing. But talking about building a championship team, guys, it's February. It's Black History Month. Hopefully you guys have been delving into that as well, learning something about the contributions that African Americans have played here in this country. Because again, without our contributions, this melting pot of a country, this amalgamism that we're in, we wouldn't have been as progressed as we have. So just take time to do your research, as we all should. But moving forward from there, I do want to say building a championship team is a very hard task. So when you see guys like, for example, like Andy Reid in Kansas City, he has built the model of success. A lot of people may attribute his success to Patrick Mahomes. It's not fair. This guy has won everywhere he has been. I'm old enough to remember him as a positional coach with the Green Bay Packers when Brett Favre was there. Y'all forgot about that, didn't you? Yeah. So from there, I remember the Philadelphia Eagles. He took them to the Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb as quarterback and Terrell Owens as a wide receiver. Came up short there, a lot of success there, and then he meandered around and found his way to where he is now. And it's not a surprise when you see a guy win that has a winning formula. I'm curious to know also as well, a lot of people think that luck is what some people call it. I don't believe in luck. I believe in strategy. I believe in following God's principles. I believe that being methodical in your approach and the way you look at situations often lends to the way you perform. I remember back in the days as a musician, one of the things that stood out to me from where I was mentored, from the position that I was mentored, was I had a mentor that was a multi-instrumentalist that had, in a black church, we call it the spirit of excellence. But in reality, they had a very methodical approach to being able to do all they did. And I remember coming in one of my first practices where we're preparing for a larger event where we're getting our choir prepared and we're trying to build a band basically from new musicians that didn't have quite the same level of experience. Watching my mentor's approach to putting all of these personalities together, I promise that within itself, anytime you get more than one person and everybody has a vision for what we should sing, how the song should go, how fast it should be, there's always the potential for division, which is more than one vision, anytime people haven't quite bought out to an idea. So before you hear a great band, before you hear a great choir, before you see a great team, before you see a performance metric or analytic, before you see somebody that's got an algorithm that's pushing out great content, go back to learning their approach. What are you doing that makes you so successful? So going back to the band that we were building and the choir, we were teaching harmony and these things, I noticed his approach was before the harmonies even begin, before the choir even starts to sing, I need my band together an hour, 2 hours before practice, going over the same parts over and over. Let's get the introduction right. Let's get the vamp right. Let's get the bridge right. Let's get the closeout right so that we'll set the tone. That now as we bring the voices in, we're the ones regulating everything. So if the band is off the key, then the rest of the music is going to follow. But if the band is able to set the tone, then the rest of it will be successful. That was our approach. So guys, I mean, even if there was no band, we understood we were the foundation for our team success. So even when it wasn't choir rehearsal, even when the band wasn't together, it wasn't uncommon to have even driven by the homes of any of the musicians and you didn't hear us playing our individual parts. So as a drummer, I would sometimes listen to the music, the source material that we were basically replicating, and I would practice it over and over, over and over, trying to hear just a little small nuance that would make my part more effective. Maybe there was an accent on the snare or the cymbal or anything that I was missing the first time. Well, the more I familiarized myself with that task, with that job, with that sound, the more I was able to hold my part. When I came in knowing my part with the next practice, not only was my confidence level better, but I promise you, y'all, my other musicians were able to pick off and not only or pick up what I was putting down, but not only that, I could feel their confidence because they were practicing. So a lot of times, just with that in the backdrop, knowing that we're the sum of our individual parts, it takes great leadership to understand the different components of a team, of an organization, and figure out how to not only put the aces in key places, but knowing how to get the best out of each position. So you know, as a team, when you're looking at your success, who sets the tone? That's very important. Who can I trust to be consistent enough to care about what they're doing? First of all, that even when we're not away, even after the choir has stopped, the sound is still going on. The practice is still being put in. That perfection is still being built. You know, there was a scripture in the New Testament where Jesus mentioned that what man, before he builds a house, and this applies to men and women both, doesn't first sit down and count up the cost. Counting up the cost means to make sure you have enough in you to finish the task. We see this a lot now where there's not a sense of loyalty from anybody to anything they're doing to finish what they've started. If you have a vision for the year of just doing great things, y'all forgive me, my baby has stepped in the room with me. I guess she's going to help me podcast today. But if you have started anything, matter of fact, 1 second, say hi to everybody. Say good morning. Say it with your mouth. Say good morning.
Good morning.
Guys, that's my baby girl. She'll be watching the Super Bowl with us as well. But just talking about setting the tone and counting the cost, I promise you, as you start understanding the building blocks of success, as you start understanding that these things don't just happen, the 49ers don't just go to 2 Super Bowls and 3 NFC West Championship games in 5 years because they just were lucky or just because they had talent. Talent alone does not trump hard work. If you go back to earlier podcast from season 1, I did an episode with a guy named Anthony Smith, who was a 2-time Super Bowl champion, won back-to-back years, 2009 with the Pittsburgh Steelers and 2010 with the Green Bay Packers. So this is a guy that understands hard work versus talent, the whole argument. And he talked about how they would, and then even now he's coaching little kids, but he'll take a guy any day that works hard over one that's naturally talented, because at some time, hard work is working hard even when talent is not. I bring this up because a lot of times we don't count up the cost for finishing a task, finishing a goal, coming to this expected end. So as I am at the beginning of every year looking at our roster, and I'm a coach from the couch, right? I'm in my mind helping Shanahan put this team together and win them the victory. But sports is just one layer of life. But in the reality of everything we're seeking to build, especially you young people, realize that there's going to be layers to your life that the next part of your life will be built on. Like, you're not just going to come in as a successful doctor, as a successful lawyer, as a successful janitor or tradesman or tradeswoman or nurse or cosmetologist or parking lot attendant. Those things don't just happen. There has to be a layer where you start off through school. You do what you're supposed to do there, right? Somewhere in there, you're going to have your first job. So hopefully, before you've gotten to your first job, you've at least had a group of parents, teachers, a community around you that has taught you the expectations that will be required of you, just as an individual, being on time, knowing how to communicate, having the right attitude, having the right work ethic, being the same person day in, day out, keeping your nose clean, staying out of trouble. Or if you've been in trouble, making the necessary changes not to follow that path again. These are things that, through consistent reinforcement, you'll begin to learn. And it's not an overnight thing. I promise you, I remember being back in high school, having a job at a grocery store, and we would work hard, but then we would do things that people would know, hey, this guy is 16, he's 17. Why is he in the back of the warehouse driving around on a mop machine that he shouldn't be? Or why are they setting up milk crates in the back of the store and throwing things at, you know, we would set them up like bowling pins, stack them up real high, and then somebody would run through and knock them over. Those were things that, looking back now, I'm thinking like, man, I was a little older, but at that time it was expected for me to be 17, but what happens when you get in your middle 20s? What have you built on that foundation you started? What about when you get to your 30s? Where are you at? Are you better? Have you read any books that have made you a better person, caused you to see things differently, help you to manage relationships differently where you're tapping into different levels of resources? That's very important. One of the greatest resources Kyle Shanahan has afforded himself is knowing how to put the right team around himself. I was looking at statistics. There's a guy on the team, Coach Bobby Turner. He's in his mid to late 70s. Let's do that there. He's from down here in the South. He's from Alabama, actually. Since the 90s, he has exclusively coached on a Shanahan coach team. During that time, they've won multiple Super Bowls, but this outstanding part of every team is the running game. The running game has been so consistent that this man has put people in the Hall of Fame from every level of life. Like every team he has had, the running game has been an exclamation point on the team. What Bobby is over this 30-year period is he is, or 30-plus years, he's a consistent force. He's the right team member. He's a guy coach can look at and say, this is what I'm getting from my circle. You got to sometimes look at some of the people that is around you and evaluate. What am I getting from them? What are they bringing to the table? Are they a resource? That's something I continually ask myself, even with a lot of what we do in the community. There are people that I work with that I look out for us, but they look out for them. They look out for their team. They look out for their organization. As I get older, I'm less inclined to want to pour energy into me first people. There has to be a we thought pattern. There has to be a us. There has to be, has anybody checked on? Has anybody thought about, hey, I was somewhere and I thought about this person? Or man, I heard a song. I read a book. A quote came across my computer and I was like, I got to get this to somebody on the team. Those are the kinds of people that are phenomenal assets and resources to have tapped into, because as long as that well of life that we all draw from is not having people putting water back into it, at some point, the more you draw from it, the more you'll find it depleted and there'll be nothing else to offer. That's why people get burned out. That's why people, you start seeing people suffer. These positions, like some of these comedians who are telling the truth. I am undoubtedly believing everything I'm hearing. But then there's still a caveat, as I'm hearing some people talk, where I'm like, oh, this person is burned out. This person is hurt in some areas of life and have never gotten a healing 8, 7, 10, 15 years later from some things that happen. That's why it's best to have the right team around you. People that are going to match your work ethic. People that are going to see you and know, hey, you're not operating at full efficiency today. Let me push you. Let me sharpen you. Let me get the best from you. When you have people that are pushing you like that, I promise you, the success God starts to put in your life, you will notice. Like the 49ers. It wasn't just by happenstance, guys. Well, anyway, with that said, I'm going to end this on a positive note. I want to get your Super Bowl predictions. So holler at me in the comments. Let me know what you think's going to happen. But I'm debating between a 31-17 score 49er way to a 27-24 score also 49er way. Let me know in the comments below what you think. I have been offering a free gift to the person that gets it the closest. But until next time, this is Anthony Mitchell with the End Zone Club Podcast. I appreciate you guys. Have a blessed day.